This conference is being recorded.
Yeah, hello everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. It is October the 4th, 2012, and glad to have so many of you on the call today, calling from all over the country and around the world. And wanted to talk with you. I know a lot of you have questions. Wanted to talk with you about that. Answer your questions, and you can share successes that you're having, and also you know, maybe do some goal setting. Each of you, you know, we can each set some kind of goal for, you know, short. If you can think about your long-term goal, what you'd like to happen in, say, 3 to 6 months, and then a short-term goal of what you'd like to work on this next week, you know, task toward that goal, this can be a great way to for all of us to set goals and to share those and to support each other with those. So, yeah, just announcements first. Normally, we have our calls every, you know, second and fourth Thursday of the month, so that would be the 11th, and this month, October 11th is coming up, we'll have a call, and then October 25th, we'll have a call, and then I was just doing a bonus call today on the 4th, since yeah, I was away last week for my birthday. Thank you all for your birthday wishes, and yeah, I had a great time in Santa Barbara, and so since I was away that week, I thought I'd do an extra call here to so it wasn't so far in between calls, so yeah, that's great. Wanted to, let's see, yeah, talk a little bit about, since several, as I mentioned, several of you are, you know, working with different organizations and doing proposals, which is fantastic, and negotiating deals. Wanted to give you a, you know, maybe we can talk about that negotiation process and how to get the fees that you want, and maybe how to be flexible in giving and taking so that you can, you know, get what you want. And so it's a win-win situation for you and for the organizations you're working with. And this can be a great model for everyone. So, yeah, just want to welcome everyone here. There's I see. Yeah, Brian's on the line. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Yeah, and Jeff McMillan, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, good. And then someone, let's see, we've got Pam. Are you on the phone, too?
I am on the phone.
Oh, that's great, yeah. And New York, I think Jeff Levout, I think is his number. I think Jeff said he's in a, even though he's on the call and listening, but he's in a meeting at work during some of these calls, so he can't speak, but was definitely wants to participate here and has a question that he sent in. And then someone from area code 610, I'm not sure.
That's Amy.
Oh, Amy. Oh, so for some reason it doesn't have your name on here.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Great. And I think TJ's going to be joining us too, and some other folks. And if she doesn't, I can state her question there. Yeah, first I think, Pam, you had some really good results, or you had a really great success with some things you're working on in Vermont, right? If you want to share what's happening there.
Yeah, I do. I moved from Vermont to California, and as soon as I got to California, I got an offer back in Vermont to work with a developmental soccer league age group program, ages like was 8 to 18, to do mental skills training with each of the teams. So I'm going to go back once a month, and on Saturdays and Sundays, and work with each of the age groups, teams who are 6 different ages, and teach them mental skills. So working, so far it's going to be working, me teaching the age group teams, and then hopefully from that I can get some individual kids from the parents, and then I would love to do some parent workshops too, because this is a high-level development league. And lots of the parents for the, like, 16 to 18-year-old teams, the parents are obviously looking at soccer as a way to get into college. So hopefully work with some of those kids. So I'm still in the I have a green light to go, but we haven't signed a contract or anything. So that's why I've got to finish the negotiation process this week. He's supposed to get back to me. He hasn't yet, so I'm going to call him today.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to do that.
Yeah, yeah, that's exciting. And I don't know if you could share your process for when you talked about the fees and that kind of thing, what you were offering them and how you were able to negotiate that. We'll just keep that, you know, private within our group here. And since you're not saying the name of the group or anything, I think that's good. If you could kind of share.
That's my hard part, is coming up with what I'm going to charge. But so I just kind of figured out what the hours were going to be, and then put out, gave him on the proposal a couple different ideas of, okay, this is a single weekend cost, but if you do a complete season of the program, then I'll give you a discount kind of thing. So what did I come up with? So a single weekend would be like 950 times 2 days, right? So I figured 950 per day. And so, then if they did the whole season, I discounted it down to $900.
So close to 2000, about 2000 per weekend?
Yeah, per weekend.
Uh-huh.
So if they did wanted to do a single weekend, would be $1,900. And then, like I tried, in the proposal, I had my pre-time would be $250, so about figuring out 2 hours of prep time at $125 an hour. And so, obviously, if he does the whole season, he gets a break on price. And the interesting thing is he said it was a lot, but he said, but I have it in my budget and I can do it, and I'm going to ask each parent to contribute, and he didn't even tell me, he hadn't figured it out yet, but how much money he was going to have a parent contribute to the mental skills training, which I think is great, too, because then the parents will know where that extra money is going for, and will have some incentive to get their kids there, too, and the kids will know, you know, that the parents are helping support this part of the program, so...
Yeah, fantastic. Congratulations on getting that going and
we
getting...
have to get the name on the contract and it's good to go, but it's for every conversation that I've had with him, it sounds really positive. So,
yeah, that's...
This guy's program has five different areas, and one is five different components that they work all their kids on, and one of the components is psychological, and he's been in business for 2 or 3 years and hasn't done any of the psychological, and said, this is the season to start that, so that's great.
Yeah, so that was sort of the missing component for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how did you get, so that's a really great fee to be able to charge. Yeah, and it's, I think you're smart to put it at 950 per day, because it just psychologically 950 sounds a lot less than $1,000 a day, even though people add it up in their minds. It just they do that with the gas pump with us all the time. You know, $3.99 a gallon sounds a lot better than $4 a gallon. We just mentally it's easier that way, and so if you have something that's close to a figure with many zeros, it's better to make it just below, you know, if it's 1,000 or 2,000, make it just below 2,000, 1,950, or do it, like you say, per day charge of 950 per day, as opposed to doing a fee for the whole weekend. It just sounds less, easier on the eyes. Yeah, and then did you submit a proposal to them, or just talk with them on the phone about what you would do?
No, I sent a proposal. I did it in writing, and so I have it all in proposal. So he has the numbers there, and he hasn't. You know, I thought he would come back with, oh, well, what about this price? And he hasn't done that at all with the fee. So I'm thinking that's great.
Yeah, it sounds like you're right. Either you're right in there at the what they expected, or too low if they don't.
Very much too low, and I thought about that afterwards, because I thought, I am hitting a lot of kids in a day if I'm working with even three teams each day, and a team is going to have 20 kids on it probably, so that's, you know, you figure out your hourly rate, that's still not very much money.
Yeah.
That's probably two teams, but I figure to get my hand in the door, and it works for me, so... I'll go up from there.
Yeah, exactly. It's better to start a little low and to get the deal and get a get experience, and then afterward, you know, get a testimonial kind of thing from them. And while you're there, since you'll be flying to Vermont, I'd suggest you know, take your video camera with you and your, of course, iPhone or whatever smartphone you have. Most of them have the ability to do a video on your phone. But if you have a video camera, that's even better. And right after the talk, I'd say that's when you're you know, talk to them. That's when people are really excited. And what I do is I just gave a talk up in Salt Lake City a few weeks ago, and I had my camera right there, and people are coming up and saying, "Oh my gosh, that was fantastic!" I'd like to invite you to come to our organization or that kind of thing. You know, they're saying really great things like that. You want to? I just pulled out my video camera. I said, "Would you mind just saying that on my camera here, so that I could just have your comments?" And most people are. I've never had anyone say no. They're like, "Oh, sure, I'll say it," and they'll just ask them to say who they are and identify their organization, and then say, you know, how great they'll tell you how great your talk was right there. And if you can get the highest level people, you know, especially, maybe get one or two of the participants to say something, like the kids or their parents, and then also get the director of the organization to say something on video, that's a really great then you can put that on your website, and it's just really valuable testimonial there for you to get more deals like that, since now you're in California, right?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah,
that's great. And how did you just talk with them by phone to get this program, or did you go fly there first?
Well, because I was in Vermont, I have a website, and when you put in sports psychology in Vermont would come up. And so he saw my website as well as had a referral from somebody, and I need to find out who the referral was from, which I haven't done, but somebody referred him to me from some work I did with somebody in Vermont when I was living there. So it was a personal referral as well as he saw my website. So.
Yeah, great. So, yeah, definitely find out who referred you. And
I need to thank that person.
Yeah, thank that person, and they'll often, if you thank them and reconnect with them, you know, they'll refer other people to you as well. Or find out if it's a mutual kind of thing, you could, find a way to thank them, send them a card, or if there's something you can do for them, like put a link to them on your website. That always helps, so you can sort of help each other, and that's a really great way of building out your network here. So so even though you've left Vermont, you've got really strong connections there. You might be back there a lot.
I know. I move away and I get more business than I had when I lived there. It's great.
Yeah, that's great. And since you started taking this program, it sounds like you've got more confidence too and more credibility here.
Yeah, and that is helping. Yeah, the whole business part of this part is definitely helping. So, good.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, congratulations. Yeah, that's a great example of how, it's possible to be, all of you are really working to get deals. So let us know when you get the contract. It sounds like you're 99% there, and that it's just a matter of
99%, yeah.
And it's just a matter of formality, yeah. And I would say, whenever you talk to, in general, when you talk to people about arrangements, and if you start talking about the money part and the details, when you get down to that part, it's good to have a contract of some sort to put together right away, and or a proposal. It could be just a simple email at first, of a kind of a letter of understanding or agreement, summarizing the details that you talked about, even though so we talked about, me doing this for $950 per day, 2 days for the weekend, and just putting that in a simple email, and then just say, can you confirm that, or just let me know if this is okay, and often it just starts with a simple email back and forth like that, and they say, yeah, that's fine. You know, in an email, that's basically the beginning or the structure for a contract and for an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can start with that. But I would, you know, whenever, you make arrangements by you start talking about details or money, you want to send them an email right away afterward confirming the details so that they don't forget, because they may be doing, you know, five different negotiations that day with other people. And so you want to get their approval on it that way. And then you can say when you do your contract, say as we agreed to, you know, as we talked about in our meeting and in our email here, per our email of October 1st, here I'm just confirming these details in our agreement. And sometimes it's better to call it an agreement than a contract, even though agreement and contract are kind of the same thing. Agreement is like a softer term, I think, for people. So that tends to work well. So great, yeah. I know that several of you are going through things, other kind of negotiations as well, and talking with organizations. I know Jeff McMillan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So you mentioned, you've got a proposal to that your and your group. Is it soccer also, or all the teams in Livermore?
It is soccer. It's the premier level organization. So there's about 16 teams.
Yeah. And so, first you sent them an initial sort of proposal of your ideas without any of the money part or the details. And then it sounded like they wanted to hear more.
Yeah, I had started talking with my son's coach because I heard him, telling the kids on the field. He says, he was kind of yelling at him. He says, you guys have to play calm, And when he came off the field, and I said, I just kind of approached him, and I said, and he's a former pro, so he understands, but he's not teaching how to do it. But I said, I heard, what you were saying to the kids, and I said, you're absolutely right. I said, but they don't know how to do that. And I said, that's what I do. I teach them how to, to learn to play calmly and, do all those kinds of things. And he said, well, why don't you talk to the director of coaching? So I just kind of used that as a referral and called the director of coaching and said, I was told to contact you, and I met with him, and he kind of sounded a little, that I think somebody else had mentioned that mental training was part of a program, but they hadn't really got to it yet. Same kind of thing here. They had said that, well, at the upper ages, they do get into some of the mental training.
I think Pam just mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I hadn't really seen that. So he almost, in the beginning, seemed like, well, we're already doing that. And, then I started talking about it, and he became more interested. And I also told him that I really don't know what that program entails and how thorough it is. I said, I've seen, some sports psychologists talk to groups, but they only talk for an hour, and then they never see them again. And that really doesn't do any good. I said, there really kind of needs to be some kind of follow-up to deal with issues or problems or, to clarify things. And so I think he kind of got interested and kind of felt that maybe it was a little more thorough than what they had in place. And so that led to doing the proposal. And since then, they've asked me to break it down into like timing, like how long each thing will take and what it'll cost. And then I had to do a pre and post evaluation for the parents to fill out, the players to fill out, and the coaches to fill out. And they want me to do a pilot program with one team, and then they're going to evaluate the results and see if it's something that they want to move forward with the rest of the team.
Fantastic. Yeah, I love that. That's a great way to get your foot in the door, do a pilot program.
And yeah, so it's kept me really busy putting together all these questionnaires that are specific to the parents and the players and the coaches, but it's actually been great because now I have this whole program that when I get in touch with other coaches, I have it all in place now. So it's really been great.
Yeah, and it's actually a great opportunity to get feedback and to know what the players and the is it for the parents also, you said?
Yeah,
what they are thinking, what they're feeling, what their challenges are. Yeah. And then when you...
It's kind of been fun thinking of the questions because, you know, I'm asking them questions like, you know, do you feel your child performs to his full potential? You know, where, it almost leads them, do you think your child has more potential than what they show on the field or what they usually show on the field? Well, I think it kind of leads them to, to kind of admit that there's room for progress,
Yeah, exactly. Those are good ways to put it. Or I often hear parents say, "Yeah, my child can perform well in training, but can't do it in the competition." Same kind of thing. You might ask a question like, what do you hear? What concerns? What problems do you hear? Or do you see in your child? Or have some open-ended questions too, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that leave it open for things that you might not have covered. You can do. Are you doing it in a form of? You can do it either yes, no, or you could do a scale of rate this 1 to 10, or you could do open-ended questions where they just fill it out?
I have a mix. I've got a section. The first section is either like written answer or yes, no.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a second section that is an evaluation, like 1 to 5. Their confidence on the field, their effectiveness, if they have, to rate their level of fear or their confidence, a lot of things like that directly relate. And I hope that the parents know. Some of them may not know if their kids are really nervous or if they're having issues,
So I would directly put that, if you probably already have, but put that word in your questionnaire. Do they have nervousness or performance anxiety? Probably most of them do, but they just haven't, no one's identified that for them. And ask them to rate that. Yeah, that would be a good thing to not just say yes or no, but either it's a scale, rate 1 to 5. And then you could say a combination of, say, a scale of 1 to 5 and then also your comments on this. Each of those areas, like especially performance anxiety, that if they're rating it, rate it 1 to 5, and then say, can you give an example of this or something? That would be really valuable information for you. Because they'll say, you probably get all kinds of specific examples, and those are the kinds of things that then you can put into if you do refine a proposal or, do another proposal for them or like for other teams, when you give those specific examples, then you're getting really down to the nitty gritty of, knowing your population, you're knowing your target audience here.
Yeah.
So I would definitely save all those. You can think of this as not just an assignment for you for this one team, like you say, but this is like collecting data about the potential audience population. Because what will happen is, just like Amy, I know you were talking earlier, Amy, about doing a program or giving a talk to the parents. And I mean, there's two sources, there's two or more sources of income. Here, you might get funding from the program itself, a lot of parents are, thinking that their child really has high potential, or they really want to help their child even further. And so if you give a talk for the parents, they may be thinking, that they're willing to, hire you individually as a coach for them, to work with their child individually. And just to have to, well, I guess ask the people in the program how. First, ideally, it would be great if just to get the full programming funding from the program and, you know, get paid that way. But you could get both, you know, also say that you're available for individual coaching for the kids. And once they see how you're doing this as a group, you know, they may want a lot more individual attention for one of their kids. Does that make sense? I don't know what happened to Jeff. I heard this clicking. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So think of each of the, if you know how many kids are in the program, or potentially.
Oh gosh, each team has an average of probably 14 kids, and there's 16 teams.
Wow.
Yeah.
16 teams times 14 kids. is a lot of, imagine if just even 10% of those parents hired you as a coach for their kids, and you could charge them, you know, $175 an hour or $150 an hour, whatever you want to charge. I'm sure they'd be willing to pay that. There's a lot of kids, parents who have just enormous goals for, and aspirations for their child, and they're willing to do anything it takes to get them to the top level. You know, for example, I have a parent who came in. I think I mentioned her a week or two ago, who has a daughter who is an ice skater. She's 11 years old, and the mom says, "Yeah, my child has 6 private coaches." At 11 years old, she has 6 private coaches. And now I'm the 7th one with, you know, the sports psychology part. And she's, this week, tomorrow she's flying with her daughter to Washington, D.C. to work with Audrey, who is the Olympic coach for, U.S. Olympic coach for the ice skating team, you know, for us. And she's still five years away from ever getting to the Olympics. But she's having, you know, flying there to do not just a camp, but private lessons with the U.S. Olympic coach. And that's the kind of dedication that a lot of parents have, you know, to their kids. It's just amazing. So
I know something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and so when they have that kind of motivation, there's you know, money's no object kind of thing. So you can become so valuable. And I know, Jeff, you've got such great skills, interpersonal skills, and you've got such a passion for this. I can just see that it's going to happen for you.
So, I hope so, and soon.
Yeah, so that's great. And one thing you want to, when you're negotiating too, you don't want to sound desperate. Even though sometimes we feel desperate, think, oh, got to have this deal come through, or I need this money right now for my, and we all do that, feel that way, but you want to appear really confident. And so, like if you're going into a meeting with them face to face or on the phone, it's good to practice in front of a mirror first, actually. You know, saying when I was going to do a talk for $20,000, I thought, I can't possibly charge that, or I can't say that without laughing. You know? But I went to my bathroom mirror, and I said to myself, you want to be able to talk to in a mirror and say, my fee is $20,000. And I said that about 10 times, and I practiced it, so it started to feel comfortable. So when I said that to it was a big health corporation that I was speaking for or negotiating with, I said that, yeah, and my fee is $20,000, and that includes A, B, and C. And he goes, okay. You know, because I just about fell over. Oh my God! They said yes, or they thought that was like the normal fee that they're used to paying their speakers. You know, for me it was like the first time I'd ever said that word out of my mouth. But I had to practice it first because I it didn't sound normal at first at all. And so sometimes you got to, just like Pam was doing there, you know, that was great, Pam, to be able to say, here's my fee, and just be able to put it out there and have that confidence. So, yeah, congratulations, Jeff. Yeah. With that, do you have any questions? Or?
I just want to make a quick comment about what you said. I think it was in an interview that you did with somebody that I read about, and it was about their price. And you know, for, I don't know if it was for speaking or for whatever, but they had said that, you know, they didn't look at it as getting, you know, say $20,000 for an hour presentation. They got $20,000 for 20 years of preparation for it.
Exactly.
That's kind of the way I look at it, because I, you know, with my other profession as well, I feel like I have a lot of experience that I've gained throughout the years, and I bring all that to the table. So it's not just that hour. It's for what comes with it, you know. And I think that helps a lot. Plus, I believe in this 100%, and I almost feel it's a shame that these kids spend 3 days a week and at an hour and a half a pop working on their physical and technical drills and don't address what's going through their head to allow them to execute these things. I almost feel like it's a waste of time without doing that extra portion of it. So I think my how much I believe in this and my passion for it is going to carry it through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that, Pam? Was that Pam?
I said, what you said is so true. If they can figure out the head stuff, all their technical and tactical skills are going to play themselves out much more, much stronger.
Yeah. I decided that I was going to evaluate the coach. I wanted him to put a breakdown of the drills that he's been working with these kids, you know, throughout the year and how the drills work and what they're supposed to accomplish in gameplay. And then I'm going to use that information to make an MP3 for all the kids to listen to, especially before the game, so that they're all, you know, got that information refreshed and they're all on the same page and working towards the same goals. And I think that's going to be really effective for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, same. And then you can... Once you get that skill down of doing that, you can just duplicate it, repeat it for other programs, and you know you'll have kind of a whole system in place to be able to work with a number of different teams and all, and all kinds of things can open up for you there for sure. For instance, a couple days ago, I got an email from a woman. She says, "I've had your CD, your visualization. I have this, you know, not a custom one, but a general one, you know, visualization CD. I've had that for years now and used it with my women's cross country team. And I wanted to know if is there a way I could pay to get the downloads of that, because we've got our cross country meet tomorrow. They needed like emergency visualization, so I gave her a price and she paid that right away, and she was able to download the MP3s. And then she says, you know, I'm really interested in you doing, could you do a custom visualization for our cross country team at our university in Florida? And I thought, oh, well, that sounds interesting. So I emailed her back and said we could talk about it. And I would need to do, you know, you do the same process with a coach as you would do with an athlete, say, you know, go through and ask them, you know, about the team and the peak experience and all of that. And, you know, and try to just generalize it to all the team members as opposed to just one person. And then she asked, what would you charge for that? And I said, I didn't know because I hadn't been asked that before, but I said, I said $275, and she said, well, I'll do that for, you know, for the, my hours time and for the making the one visualization MP3. And she says, well, we have two teams, a men's and a women's team. You know, could you do two MP3s? And that's a situation where if someone's asking you to do more, you don't want to just say, well, I'll just throw that in. You want to increase your price by some period. I didn't know what, I was just having to think about this on the fly. A lot of this stuff is brand new. You know, you just throw out a price and you see if what the market will bear. So I said, it would be, since we're already talking about the team, she said just men and teams and women's teams, run differently and think differently, so they'd need a different MP3 for each one. So I said, okay, so it would be 150 extra for the men's. I'll do the extra one for 150 in addition to that. And she said, okay. And she talked to her athletic director the next day and got approval for that. And so... that's a situation where you can, you know, even if you have like a just a general CD or something that people listen to and really like it, then they may ask for more. They may ask for a custom visualization, and a coach might ask for that for their whole team. So great. Yeah, congratulations, Jeff, on that. Yeah, we're excited. Let me know how it goes. Keep us informed for next time. Yeah, and then let's see. Amy, are you there? Yeah, you've got some.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, and you're talking. You've got some things you've been negotiating with also with the Ballet
yes,
Pennsylvania.
It's looking good, but I wanted to mention this because this just happened this morning. I've been trying to get connected to Haverford College, which is a great college right near my house, and I've been trying to break through in the tennis arena there, and I couldn't get the athletic director to email me back, so I met somebody yesterday who actually teaches a bar class that I take, and her friend is the field hockey coach there. So she sent her an email yesterday, and the coach just got back to me today and said, oh my God, I really need you. My field hockey team is not performing up to their potential, and I really want you to come in and, you know, can we talk today at 2:30? So I'm going to talk to her at 2:30.
Wow.
She wants to get some insight as to what I would do if I came out to talk to her team and probably the soccer team also. So I have this phone call in 45 minutes, so I wanted to just pick your brain on what would you, you know, I just wanted to get your thoughts on maybe what you would recommend if I have one shot at going out with her field hockey team to start out with.
Yeah.
What to do with them. It could turn into a really good thing.
Yeah, because they're a private school, I think you mentioned, that have lots of funds.
It's a great college. It's a really great college.
Yeah, so that's and it's is it girls, men and women?
Yes. Yeah, they have a lot of teams. It's a D3, Division III. But I was trying to approach it from the tennis team, and I don't think the athletic director loves the tennis coach. And this woman, you know, didn't even go through the athletic director, so she seems to really want, you know, my services.
And she, what's her position? The woman.
She's the head of the field hockey. She's the field hockey coach, the head coach.
Okay. And how did she find out about you?
She found out about me from two people. The one woman is at the place where I take this class, and then the other one is the husband of someone that I coached who got a lot out of it, and he takes her spin class. She's a spin teacher also, so he told her. So she heard from two people that, you know, she should call me.
Wow.
And I guess her team... she said, I am struggling with my team's inability to be consistent in a game. And they had a really bad game last night. And she said, you know, they really need help.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic situation for you. And that's usually when they give you the call when they have a bad game thing. Or if there's an important, and if there's an important turn, you know, game coming up kind of thing. So I would say, you know, there's several things you could, you know, it's good to just offer, like in the conversation, first you want to, you know, ask lots of questions about, you know, specifically what are they struggling with, you know, how, why are they inconsistent, and so is it soccer that you're, when you say
field hockey?
Field hockey, yeah. So, so you're, you know, and just ask them what, you know, what their goals are and how, you know, how important is this to your, you know, ask them, yeah, how important is this, you know, goal to be consistent to you, you know, really get to that. And, you know, you can ask, you know, it's always good to get at the pain, the pain of the team and what's really going wrong, because that's what people will pay for to, you know, to fix. And, and you want to get, and then try to write things down. You're going to meet with her. Oh, it's a phone call, you said?
Yeah, it's a phone call.
So if you have, do you have a headset you can just put on and then you can type?
Yes.
Sort of, if you have the ability to record the phone call, that's even better so that you can then review it later too, but just to be able to type her answers, you know, for you so that you can use those in any kind of proposal that you have, and use her words if she's saying, you want to just, because that's exactly what they'll pay for is for you to solve the problems that they're having, specifically if, you know, using their language. It might be, you know, some things you might not know the specific language, you know, if they're talking about a specific technique, they're not getting that down. I would say if you don't understand one of the, particular technique, don't ask the, what does that mean? Or what do you mean here, with the techniques, you know, cause you can always look that up online kind of thing. I've done that before. That's one mistake I've made in the past. If I didn't know a particular, thing like ice skating, you know, you do the H position or whatever. I say, oh, what's the H position? and they say, oh, what? You don't know the H position? Come on. Everybody should know the H position, right? Or in ice dancing, they have this.
Right. I don't need to tell her. I don't know it.
in ice dancing, they have this thing called a twizzle. You know, oh gosh, she's just all messed up with her twizzle. I think, oh geez, I messed up with my twizzle too. Whatever the heck that is. So, I know people have different, all kinds of terms. And if you can throw in any humor, that's always good too, to kind of ease the tension. But I would say, you know, get the, ask her those questions to get in touch with her pain and what's not working, so that then she understands how much she needs you, kind of thing. And then try to, use your, language around, you know, exactly how you can fix. The more specific you can be, not just saying I can help your team be more mentally focused or just be a better team, but you want to be really specific to, fixing her, that specific problem that she's talking about. You know, if it's my team, they're fine the first quarter and then they blow it on the second quarter. Then ask them, okay, what's happening in the second quarter? And try to think of it as going an inch wide and a mile deep, and go deep into that second quarter and find out what it is that they're actually doing. And ask her to give you an example of exactly what happens, so you can get these specific stories, kind of thing. And then as you're talking, you can kind of be like a mechanic and say, okay, well, let's see. So if they're falling apart in the second quarter and they're, you know, they're not focusing and they're not paying attention to the coach's instructions or something, that's exactly what I can work on, helping them to, you know, pay attention to the coach's instructions. And since she's the coach, ask her specifically, what cues do you want your exactly what cues do you want them to focus on? The coaches have certain cues or keywords, so you want to get some of those keywords, you know, that you don't have to have her whole technique, but just for example, thinking about the, you know, seeing who's open and being able to listen to the instructions, you know, that the coach is giving during the halftime or something, write those down, kind of thing, so that when you then say what you can fix, you just, you know, read back basically what she's saying to you, and then throw in some things about, you know, you can talk about the three P's, that we've talked about here, and that is always really valuable, you know, helping them with the positive images and power words and present focus, those kinds of things. If you have, your Performing Edge book there, you can refer to a lot of the chapter titles in the front there, the table of contents. Yeah, those are really valuable, so that you say that you have a structure there. Yeah, you can talk about that. And the workbook that I'm still working on here for you, but we've got several of the, you know, parts. You can say that you've got a workbook that, you know, where they can actually go through and answer questions. I'd say just be more general with what's the problem, and then how you can work to some of the kinds of techniques. Try to be really specific, you know, give an example of how you use these techniques for, say, another team, even if you haven't. Have you ever worked with, like, field hockey before?
No.
Probably, but that's okay. Yeah, don't say that. This is my first field hockey team. I have no idea what I'm doing. But you don't want to say that, of course. But because, you know, that's the great thing about what we do is the mental techniques, you know, apply equally well to all different sports. And so I would go, you know, go online first if you can't, you know, even for a few, I know you don't have much time here, but just quickly go online and just to type in field hockey. You type in, yeah, field hockey techniques, field hockey mental training, and just see if you can see, you know, go on YouTube so that you can actually watch a couple videos, even like 1 minute, 2 minute videos, and see, you know, so you get an idea of what it looks like out there. And there may be a lot of YouTube videos have commentary, so the coach is talking or a narrator, you know, an expert is talking about what they're doing. So you can then use some of the language. You could say, oh, and then you can tell her, oh, I was just watching the such and such championship, field hockey championship, and I noticed, yeah, they were doing the same thing. They were having this problem here. So now all of a sudden you're an expert, right, because you watched YouTube.
So, that's a good idea.
But it really, just having that visual there of and you can sound informed then that you are, you know what's going on in the sport. You know, you could put in field hockey championships or something, and you could say, you know, there might be something that was just going on recently. You could say, I know that, yeah, there was this big problem in the latest field hockey championships at whatever university. And then they say, wow, you knew about that? Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, you sound more informed. And I know it's, you can't become an expert in half an hour kind of thing. But you can just, you know, just by seeing something there, I think it's it helps you to really understand the sport more. And then you don't worry about the specifics right at the beginning, that first conversation. Just, you know, talk about the pain and the challenges and the what you can do for them overall, specific techniques you could use. And then if you can tell a story, you know, something about, you know, a success story of a team, the folks that you worked with, like, and it could be in another sport or, you know, clients that you've worked with. Do you have any in mind? You know, try to find something as close to that sport as you can. But it could be anything, and you know, just something where you felt like you had a success with someone. It could even, you know, for some of you on the call, if you haven't worked with clients yet, but maybe a lot of you have kids, you know, your son or daughter you've worked with. You don't have to say it's your son or daughter, but just think of them as someone that you've worked with, and you could give an example of, say, this student I worked with, I applied these techniques, and here's the results I got. So that's really good to so that you kind of take them through exactly what you do. And when you're doing a story like that, think of it like problem, solution, results. There is the a good way to like a three-part thing. What problem did they come in with? And then what solution did you offer? You know, what treatment did you do with them? And then what were the results afterward? So if you offer those three things, then they'll get the idea of exactly what you're doing. And then if they ask you, well, how much do you charge? I think I'd say, well, it's let's, can we have a second conversation about that or something? You know, because sometimes it's like you want to feel them out to see what they normally charge for other things. Of course, if they haven't had a mental training coach before, they don't know. But you. But they've probably had speakers before, so you could start off with a speaker charge. I know a lot of colleges. I've been brought in by universities before, and they paid me $5,000, you know, for a 1 hour talk kind of thing, or two talks, that kind of thing. Between $3,000 and $5,000, because colleges have what's called an activities budget. You know, when you go to a university, all these students pay into a fee, this activities fee every quarter that it's required. And so colleges have this huge budget that's accumulating from all the students that come in. And they have to use that budget up every quarter or every year, or else they lose it. Usually is the way the budget works. And so they're always looking for, that's why all these comedians and high-level speakers are always brought into universities, because they got to use up all this money. So why not, you could get a part of that, you know, through the athletic department. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes. Dr. Joanne, one of the things that she said to me was, she said, you know, what do you charge? Because we don't have much of a budget. You know, we're a D3 school. Maybe we could combine the soccer team and my team to, you know, share the cost.
Okay. Yeah. So that's fine. I wonder if she's thinking that they each have a separate budget kind of thing. They could combine their money together. And did she say, what do you charge for a specific activity? Or did she say,
I think she wants to know what my cost would be. Like, if I just came in to talk to them for an hour, what I would charge them. Or if I were to make up a program, I mean, that would be different if I made up a program for them. But how much would you charge for a team? Our budget is pretty limited because we are only D3.
Yeah, and that, you know, you have no idea what that means in terms of, well, of course, people always say that because they don't want to pay any more than they have to. But she's also saying to you, we really need you, right?
Right.
It's always I come from the mindset that if people find value in you, if they really need you, they will find the money to do it. And there's lots of budgets within the, you know, universities have all kinds of different budgets, and if they really want you, then they'll find it. Speakers budgets. There's, so ask them about this. You know, if they can't say, well, we don't have that money, ask them, do you have different budgets available, like an educational training budget? Usually there's all kinds of money, and sometimes they don't even know about these other budgets kind of thing. But they can get creative, and I've found all the time when if I say, like, my fee is $1,000, they'll say, oh, gosh, we can't pay that. But actually, I have, let me talk to my director, let me talk to my supervisor and see what we can do. And then they'll call back and they find a way. They ask about their, you know, their regional budget or their, you know, bigger budget of the whole university or the whole athletic department, not just the hockey department. They get creative, and all of a sudden they come back and say, oh, okay, I guess, yeah, we can pay you your fee kind of thing. But to get in the door, because it's, you have to think long term too. If it's this college that you really want to work with, you know, if there's a way that you can, if this one talk, I know, Amy, that you are really good at presenting, and that you could do a killer job, you know, at giving a presentation. So if you could get in the door at a lower fee at first, then you may be able to, like, put together a whole program for them, and they, when they have a little more time, they can, you know, put it into their budget for this next year, next fall, whatever. So I don't know.
I should offer a complimentary presentation for them to start with, or should I charge them?
I think you should offer to charge them first, and then if they can't pay anything, then you could try. Then you could do a complimentary. But if I think it's always better to charge something, because people, if you charge them a fee, people value you more, and they think that you're you know, really worth it. Whereas if it's complimentary, I think sometimes it's not as not quite as valued. If I do something complimentary, it's usually for the only time I'll do something complimentary is if it's a charity I really believe in, or if they offer something of value to me, like that's easy for them to provide, like if it's for an airline or something, you know, if they provide airline tickets or if if it's a company and they have where I can sell products in the back of the room, then you can sell things that way. Then you can make a lot, with selling your resources. If it's a group that, you know, a business group that will pay for products, that kind of thing. But I would say, you know, charge something, whatever you're comfortable with. You might ask for $500 or $750 or something like that. And they can always say, no, sorry, we can't. Or if you say 750, they might say we could do 650 or we can do 600, which is much better than nothing, right? And whereas if you started with zero or you started with $100 or something, then you can't. If you start low, you can't go high. But if you start higher, the people are always willing to negotiate, I think. Or like I was saying, if they really find value in you, they'll. You know, they can ask other, you know, they find all these different budgets, they find the money to pay you. So I'd say charge something and then just be willing to have a plan B kind of thing. If they can't do that, then say, here, I'll, I could do it for this smaller amount, but can you offer something else with it? Sometimes they'll say, well, okay, we can't pay the full, your $750. We could pay you $500, and we could offer you introduction, a referral for our five other sports teams. I mean, how valuable would that be?
that's what she said in the email, that, you know, I'm sure the girls will like you, and if that's the case, we can offer this to a lot of the other teams. So
yeah, and try to get specific about how they would offer it to the other teams. You know, would they say, I'd like a letter of referral and a, you know, put that in your agreement kind of thing, and a testimonial, you know, testimonial on video or something, I guess that wouldn't be necessary at a team like that, but just a letter of referral to the other teams, and an introduction to them. The best thing is if they could get you, you know, do a conference call with them, like this field hockey team person and your and the next having you and that coach and then the new coach on a conference call with them, you know, kind of bridging the way. That's how I got this, like, my first $20,000 speech with this major corporation was someone else who knew it was inside the corporation, you know, said, okay, let's get on the conference call with you and me and the decision maker for this, who decides who this, you know, the VP of marketing in this corporation. So that's where things can really happen for you. Yeah, so does that make sense?
Sure, that's great.
Yeah, so I just kind of putting all sorts of stuff out there. I know, it's TJ's on the phone too, right?
Yeah,
I'm here. Hi, yeah, I wanted to get a chance. So, thanks, Amy, and let us know how it goes with your call.
Okay, thanks for your help.
With your call today, I think that should, really, really help, and just be really confident and go in there and you know, charge what you're worth and then just be willing to negotiate kind of thing. Yeah. So, TJ, what did you get? Yeah, I gave you, I think you had that question about your client and having limited time. And yeah, do you want to ask your question about that?
Because we have limited time today, but she just came in yesterday. She's running the Portland Marathon, which is on Sunday, and her boot camp instructor, who's a friend of mine and an amazing runner himself, said that he would pay for her to come and see me. So she came in, and it was really interesting because she's running the marathon in 4 days.
Who would pay? Her coach would pay you?
She's coaching with this runner friend of mine who I take boot camp with.
Oh, okay.
But then he and I talked about some of this stuff and whatever. I know you just talked about being paid for your money, but I'm doing this one for free. This woman doesn't have that much experience. She's only run one marathon before, and that didn't go well. So she didn't have a lot of experience to draw on, but she did come up with a peak experience of a 16-mile run that she had done a couple months ago. So we went over that, and I gave her right then and there a couple of things to say, you know, a couple of mantras to say during the, during the race, and we kind of got to her anchor word, you know, and I gave her that, which is her niece was just born, she's like 2 months old, she loves her, and that's going to be her, you know, she's going to be thinking about Beth all the time when she runs, And then last night I made her an MP3, and I just emailed it to her last night, and I have not heard from her today, so I'm going to give her a call later and see if she got it and if she's listening to it. So.
Oh, yeah, great. Did you
have a couple days, so.
Did you get my suggestions okay?
I did, yeah, and that was you know, I had thought about using that visualization thing. I just wondered if there was a kind of a shorter way to do it, but I ended up getting it done in about half an hour. So that wasn't too bad. And then the MP3 I made for visualization was only about 12 minutes. And so time-wise, it was okay, I think. So, yeah, I was really pleased with how it came out, and I just hope that she likes it and can use it and can listen to it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so that's...
Thanks for the help. I called Joanne, like, frantically, like, oh, my God, this woman's running in 5 days. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I think that's a good question that you'll get a lot from, a new client or something, somebody that has, I've got this competition coming up and I don't know, I need your help kind of thing. And that's when people are willing to hire you for their services. Or if you're doing it for free for the first one, then and you do a good job, they'll hire you for something coming up after that, or refer people to you.
I mean, that's really my hope, is that, you know, and he knows a lot of runners and he coaches a lot of people, and so we're going to try to set something up, where he can send people to me to be coached.
Yeah.
Performing as coach.
So he's a... Great. You can be the performing edge coach for him. Yeah. And he's a coach, an athletic coach for athletes?
He's a private coach.
Uh-huh.
He's also the best ultra marathon runner in Portland. He came in 11th at Western State back in June, which is one of the big, big 100 milers in the country. And he came in 11th.
Yeah.
He's an amazing athlete and, a really good coach. And he does training runs every night and every morning in the park. And, so he really, and he has a business called Animal Athletics through which he does all this. So I really want to get, hooked up with him. And we're just talking about ways we can hook our businesses up a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
To kind of feed each other clients, because it's really a perfect combination.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. So
my goal for the next week or so is to try and figure out something with him.
Yeah. So I'd say if you're doing this, when you're kind of like doing a favor for him for free, coaching this one person, then you want to be able to get back to him and say, okay, let's sit down and either by phone or go to a Starbucks or something and figure out how you can arrange to, some sort of referral. Give him some of your cards and tell him your website and tell him more how you work with people and all the different things you do. You might have a quick one sheet with a list of your services. Develop that. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you can develop it as you go. Yeah, like the coaching and tell him it's by phone and also you could have it on your website, but also have something you could hand to him if you talk to him in person. Yeah, and your MP3s and how you could combine that with your massage, since you're a massage therapist, how you can combine sort of massage for the body and the mind.
Yeah.
You've got a unique kind of thing that you can offer, right? How you could do a package of both. If your mind is if your body's out of whack, your mind might be also. You could say. I just thought of that.
Okay. We'll work on that one a little.
Yeah, right. Maybe it's the other way around.
And I kind of want to offer him one for free, just to kind of, so he knows what the kind of work that I do.
Uh huh.
He's not the kind of person who would normally search that out because, he's actually really strong mentally. He's really worked on it.
Uh-huh.
And so, he's not really my target market, but I want him to know kind of what it's like and to have the MP3 right there so he has a sense of, you know, what my work is, and then he can talk about it more, more intelligently to his client.
Yeah, I think that's really smart, TJ, and that's a good model for everyone here to follow. If you do find someone with influence in your market, you know, a coach or a media person or, you know, a top athlete, then it's worth doing something for free for them, not, you know, for a long period of time, but just like one session or something to do the MP3 or the consulting and then have them see what you do and then have them set up a kind of a mutual referral system or a way that they can refer people to you. And often people, they'll think of you. And you can do that also with, sports medicine doctors if you have other massage therapists in your field that don't do the, you know, the mental part, you know, they might be able to refer to you too. And, running coaches, you could go to marathons, like the Portland Marathon is this weekend, this Sunday, is it?
Yep.
Yeah, you could go there to the expo, or do you plan to be there at the expo?
Yeah.
Are you going to do a booth or just walk around?
No, I'm just going to walk around. Booths are just...
Yeah, so you could walk around with, that's, I think, you know, you can meet a lot more people, walking around than having a booth, actually. And, that's a huge place to meet thousands of people. And and you could hand out your cards and go to the other booths. You've probably done that before. Yeah, booths, yeah. And talk to the vendors and see if you can work out some sort of partnerships or referrals there. See if they want you to speak for their organization. Sometimes you'll see media people there at the oftentimes at the expo too, and you could offer to give a interview for them. If you see, top athletes, bring your video camera and you can be, do a quick video, just like I did with Steve Young with the 49ers, just happened to see him at the airport. And you probably, if you happen to see some of the, top runners there, just say, hey, can I do a quick, ask you a quick question on video, for my website or for my book, cause you're writing a book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And talk about, interview you for my book and then just put the everybody's used to cameras these days, so just point the camera at them and just ask them a question, kind of thing. You don't have to set up anything official, or go for it. And try to get it real close to them, because if you're in a noisy area, you want to get the audio, kind of thing. And that'd be great for your website and all. Plus, you could use it for your website, and then also have it transcribed. You just use Fiverr.com, FIVERR.com. You can get someone on there to transcribe stuff for $5, and just and then use the words like in your book.
Yeah.
So, thinking of all kinds of ideas for you here.
Oh yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Yeah. Let's see.
Thanks for the last minute help there. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's great. It's great that you're getting talking to the right people to get things going with your Performing Edge coaching.
Yeah.
So that's great. Yeah. Are you doing the marathon yourself?
No, I'm not. I'm doing a 25K trail race on Saturday.
Oh, good. Okay.
I don't want to do the marathon. So I was offered a bib, but
yeah,
Dublin's in 3 weeks, so.
Yeah, and you might offer cards or your services. A lot of people after the marathon will be injured or sore, right? And they need your massage services as well as, and then you can introduce them to the mental training part too.
Yeah, exactly.
So post-race.
But thanks for the help.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Just want to check in with Brian too. Are you there?
I am.
Yeah, thanks for your...
thanks. Bye.
Okay. TJ's got to run, I think.
I'll see you next time.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Brian, how are you doing? And do you have questions or any kind of progress you want to report?
There's not a great deal of progress going on, Dr. Joanne. I was at the Ryder Cup, so very busy there. And then
the Ryder Cup?
Yes, the Ryder Cup. So that was USA against Europe up in Chicago.
Uh-huh. For golf?
That's... that's every 2 years where we do battle in a very honourable fashion. So I was up there just because I know some of the players on the European team and really wanted to spread the word about what I'm doing and at the same time make a lot of, you know, notes on, you know, when guys performed well, what did I notice? When guys performed poorly, what did I notice? So it was all about the business going forward. So very busy. And then just having gotten back, I'm super busy trying to get my website ready. I'm just having problems with the designers because, you know, I send them content, you know, because obviously they're trying to search engine optimize, and then they constantly come back saying, I need to rewrite it. Well, you know, I'm not a website designer, and I'm not a writer by profession. So I'm just having some growing pains with the company I'm working with.
Yeah, the website company?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I think, are they doing it with WordPress?
It's not WordPress. No, I sent you an email on that. I'm going to move to WordPress in the future because I use it for blogging. But no, it's Intuit. You know, they're obviously a web designing search engine. Blah blah blah. So it's not costing me very much. So I remember having conversations with people about how much it can cost for SEO, and it's a waste of time. And I fully agree with you with things you've said on this in the past.
Yeah.
No, I was just dialing in hoping we were going to talk some more about the strategies you mentioned in the email on growing clients, the bit on the website, building your clients and prospect list, attracting and keeping. It's always great to listen to the stories that everyone else is saying. And if I'm honest, I dial in for the strategies and the content. So.
Yeah, and so today, I think because it was a kind of a bonus call, a special call, I wanted to, and everyone was doing lots of negotiating with, I think it was really important to listen to the, you know, hear all of your negotiating processes and what you're doing with different groups so that, you know, we can all learn what works and what doesn't work. And next, I'll give you a couple tips right now, and then next time when we talk next Thursday, we'll make that a regular training call, and I'll start off with, we'll go through that list of things that I had on this, the email there, like you say, growing your client base and having your website marketing. I've got a full kind of training all ready for you. So sorry we didn't get to all those things today, but a couple of things I wanted to mention are just when you're starting, I know several of you are starting doing websites, and it's good to, first of all, when you get a domain name, you know, you want to make sure that you register the domain name yourself. If you are, I'm all about if you can do certain things yourself, starting doing your website like through WordPress. I think it's better if you can do it yourself, and then just have if you want special things done on your website, you can have a web designer or company do that for you. Because then you have more control. But one of the things you definitely want to have control of is your domain name. And often I've heard people, if you're starting out with a website, they'll say, okay, hire a web designer or somebody to do the web work. And the designer will say, oh, okay, just tell me what domain name you want, or I'll search for different domain names, and then I'll register it for you. And you definitely do not want to do that. That's one of the worst mistakes you can possibly make, because I've heard so many horror stories with a designer. You know, they register it under their own name, and if they own the domain name, then they control your website. And if they disappear, which often web designers do, or they, you know, they're gung-ho at first, and then all of a sudden, I paid one web designer, you know, $1,500, almost $2,000, and he was gung-ho at first and did all kinds of work, and then he just totally disappeared. And, you know, I was left high and dry and wasted a lot of money. fortunately, I still have the domain name, but other people I've seen, you know, they start with a web designer and they want to register your domain name themselves, and they register it under their name, and then when they're gone or if they're not interested in the project anymore, all of a sudden they still have your domain name. They can take it anywhere they want. If they decide to, you know, just redirect the domain name to someplace else, boom, your website is down, and you have no website, and your whole brand is you know, around that domain name is gone. So that's I just want to caution you and protect you against that kind of thing, to make sure that you do that process yourself. Register your pick out the domain name you want and register it yourself. And I think if you go to you know, under Coach Resources, under the members area, the top tab there, under Coach Resources, I've got several resources that I recommend there for the hosting company and for list building. And it's just ones that I trust, that I use myself. That's the best way to go, to definitely you know, do register your domain name yourself. And then you know, the process of actually, you know, putting you know, getting it, installing WordPress, is just so simple. It takes all of 30 seconds to do. You know, and these, a lot of web designers will charge you, yeah, $500, $1,000 just to set up a website. And basically, you know, like it's, they'll say also install WordPress for $500 or something. And it's, I just did one last night, a brand new site, and it took me 30 seconds to do. And so it's just crazy what people will charge. I think it's, WordPress makes it so easy now for you to do yourself. And like you were saying, Brian, with, you know, yeah, going back and forth with a web designer saying, oh, you got to change this, you got to change that. You know, you get to a certain point where you feel like, oh, geez, I could just do this myself, so much easier than going back and forth with these guys. And so I actually, next time when we talk on the 11th, I'll give you a kind of step-by-step how to you know, how easy it is to set up your website on WordPress. And and if you want more information between now and then too, you want to go to wordpress.org. Do not go to wordpress.com. A lot of people make that mistake. WordPress.com is a hosting company. They're separate, and that's a company that hosts websites, but you do not want to have your website hosted there. It's free, but the problem is that they basically own your website there. It's not your real estate. It's their real estate, and they could you know, take it down at any point. It's not supposed to be used. WordPress.com is not supposed to be used for commercial purposes, so if they find out it is, then they could take your website down at any time. And also, it always has to say wordpress.com/your domain name. So it's not, you know, Brian, if you wanted brianalderson.com, it'd have to be wordpress.com/brianalderson, which is a long name and doesn't, you know, people don't like to type that in. Whereas you want just brianalderson.com, and you want it hosted on a, you know, with a hosting company that way you own the domain name, you pay for the hosting service. But most of them, the companies out there, only $4-$5 a month, some are $3 a month. It's just really a tiny amount of money for what you get, and that way you get control over your site. So it's really important to and with WordPress, it makes it easy to you want to go with a hosting company that has what's called a cPanel. cPanel means control panel. And I would say what a cPanel is it's just a panel that makes it so much easier to do things. Install WordPress, you can put on new domains, you can do all these things that webmasters used to say, oh, geez, you know, they pay, you know, charge you thousands of dollars to do. And basically they've made it so much easier now, so you can just click on an icon and, you know, install the WordPress. You can configure your website. I don't know anything about HTML myself, and I'm not a technical person. I have no technical background at all. And yet I'm able to put together, you know, great websites now, just because they make it just a point and click kind of thing. And if you have any problems or need help with it, you just call the hosting company, and they'll you know, give you they'll give you the you know, to walk you through it by phone, you know, for free. All the technical support's right there, and they'll walk you through exactly what to do to, you know, to get things installed. So yeah, so that's some some things there I wanted to tell you about with you know, kind of getting things set up for your website. And Brian, you were thinking of different domain names, is that right, for your site?
I was, yeah, just looking for something. I remember one of the calls we did was on making it very short and easy to remember. So from a domain poster, I was able to buy a number of different web domains, and I did reach out to them and clarify that I own them and they're registered in my name. So yeah, I bounced this around a bunch because you want to make it easy to remember and succinct and concise. And so yeah, I came up with prosportmind.com.
Great.
So I'm going to give that a whirl, but